Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity
and for the invitation of your dear pastor, and thank God for him and his wife and family. Also, the missionaries that are here, good to get to know you and get to know the people that you brought your way for this missionary conference that God has sent you. Brother Joe and his messages, thank God for him. And appreciate the good meal last night, ladies, and also the nice room here in your prophet's chamber. First of all, I'd like to tell you that my wife, sorry she can't be here with us, that, because she's on dialysis since February. She's been on it almost 3 months and has been working. I'm going to turn this thing on. I might need it. Okay.
Is that better?
Can you hear me now? Good. So we are thankful that God gave her a good doctor and that he found that she had kidney failure a year from this past February. A year ago she'd been seeing a doctor for her kidneys, and now she's doing better since she's on dialysis and the swelling is down, poison is leaving her body, and she's getting good treatments there in Chattanooga where we live, and with our three children, Anthony, Angie, and Jonathan, and their families. Jonathan not married yet, but pray for him. And we're thankful for giving us three grandchildren, too. Angie has two, a boy and a girl, and Anthony has one little girl, 5 years old. God has been good to us, and we're thankful for what he did in Chile. For the last 41 years, God has raised up three churches, called pastors, and kept them going and growing and serving him there in the churches. And thank God for Pastor Julio, who turned his church over to a younger pastor, Pastor Jorge, about 3 years ago. And then the pastor in Rancagua, the South Rancagua Church, where we've worked for about 36 years, he's been faithful for over 20 years now. And there's a new one that's been in the church in La Victoria, the Victory Baptist Church, for about 5 years. So we're thankful for these pastors that are carrying on the work there. We try to help them all we can. We go visit them as often as we can. As soon as the planes start flying and we can get back to Chile, I want to go and encourage them in the way I can and help them every way possible as they continue to carry on the work. And praying about starting another work as a young man in one of the churches that we worked in most of those years has started preaching, and he's got a real burden to help people get saved and go out and take the gospel to other people as he's done home Bible studies and so forth. He's working hard as well as the other pastors that are taking care of the work. Brother Julio worked with us in Rancagua for about 11 years. He worked in two missions, which didn't result in a church, but at least we saw souls saved out there as well. And then went back to his hometown and took the church at where we first worked, all of us worked together with another missionary named Lewis Brown, and took that work again that we started together. So he's 79 years old this month, and he's had open heart surgery. He's had a fall, broke his hip, so he has a hard time getting around, but he's up and walking again. So we thank God for the faithfulness of men like Brother Julio and all the other pastors. You know, God is faithful. In Lamentations chapter 3, you know the verses, says in verse 22, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because of his compassion, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And I can say that God has been faithful, and he has given us the opportunity to serve him in Chile for these many years, and we're thankful for that. My wife's life verse is in Jeremiah 33:3. You may know it as well. And it says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." We don't know what God's got in store for us, and these young people can look forward to surprises, good surprises that God gives us in life. And my wife has been a blessing to our ministry in Chile, and the people love her there. We were back in Chile for one month together in October and November. But want to make sure all of you get one of our cards. Just on our card, it has information on the back, but on the front it says missionaries to Chile and China. When I was in a youth meeting that I had the privilege of directing one year, it was a youth camp. 5 days at camp, and we used to get them together all the time for the youth to study the Word of God and fellowship, and pastors in Chile and missionaries would all work together. It was a wonderful time. In the morning, the pastor that brought our devotions, when we had devotions during the time when the young people had their devotions, was our counselors. One of the pastors in Santiago, he brought a message about Abraham, and he asked, "Now, how was Abraham when God called him out of the land of Ur?" So I knew right away, 75. And so, 75 years old, it's never too late. I'm 77, but praise God, at night I surrendered to go to China. And that was back in 2001, so I was still pretty young then. But, you know, the Lord let me go to China 3 years ago, before I was 75 years old. You see how God works in marvelous and wonderful ways, and these young missionaries can look forward to a lot of blessings as you go out by faith to serve the Lord. And He's faithful. He'll answer our prayers. He'll do more wonderful things that we can't imagine. God has also helped us to build some radio stations in Chile, Christian radio stations. We have one in Santiago, one in Mulchen, one in Calbuco. These are names you've probably never heard of. Maybe Santiago, which is the capital. But the pastor there that preached that message that morning about Abraham, he helped me get these radio stations organized with all the paperwork you have to do with the engineer to do the projects and to get them in. And we helped with the funding the churches gave, like y'all's church and other individuals and groups gave to build these radio stations. And ours is still going on in Rancagua. And you know, we don't have to be there to preach the gospel. It comes from Charlotte, North Carolina. They bump it up to the satellite, comes down to our satellite dish, and we take it through the studio and cipher it out and put it back on audio and send it out to our community over FM station 107.1. God has blessed that station for 20 years, being July, one more month. 20 years, it's been preaching the gospel with good Christian music. Now, if you don't know what's in Charlotte, North Carolina, it's a Bible broadcasting network that have Spanish programming all done from these pastors, and Spanish music all fixed up. And Juan Lopez is the director of the ministry there, and he coordinates everything. I've met him. He's been in our home in Chile, and he sends us all this preaching from good pastors and all this good Christian music, and it works automatically. Our pastors in Chile are broadcasting over Facebook now because they couldn't meet, just like we haven't been able to meet in a long time in churches. But they're still getting the gospel out. And the one in the South Rancagua Baptist Church just told me that he's able to help people and preach the gospel to those that have never been in his church, because they know him, they know his family, and they're listening to them as they put on their programs and the preaching of the gospel. God is doing wonderful works during our lifetime, but time is short. We must do what we do before the night cometh when no man can work. I want to go to that passage now for a short message. And I really worked on a long message, brother. I want to share my time with Brother McGuffey. So John chapter 9. Says, and Jesus passed by. As he passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Can you imagine how it would feel to be blind? I remember when I was a boy, I used to close my eyes and walk around and try to find my way around the house just to see how it would feel. And it's not easy. It's a hard life. I know a friend of mine in Chile who's Christian, and his name is Mario. He got saved after he had had an accident, and a truck hit his tricycle. Well, that wasn't a little tricycle, but it's a vehicle that they haul things with two bicycle wheels in the front and a platform where they put their stuff in it, and they hold the handles and guide it like this. But they pedal it like a bicycle. Well, he got hit, and it caused him to go blind. Well, his wife and children left him. She took the children and left because he was blind, couldn't work anymore. He had to move back in with his mom. So he moved back to Rancagua, where we had rented his mom's house to start to work in South Rancagua Church back 36 years ago. And we got to know Mario, and of course his mom later got saved, and his brother also. But I had to help Mario during the time when his mom got sick and couldn't take care of him, couldn't carry him around. And so we would have to carry him places in our vehicle, and then we'd have to lead him. And he'd hold on to my arm like this to get around, because that's the only way he could find his way around downtown inside of his house. He was fine, but and a few blocks away to go to buy in the open air market, he could do that. But he had to have help to get around downtown. People that are lost are in darkness. They're blinded, and they need help. This man was blind. And let's read what happened after Jesus passed by. You know, he passed by every one of our lives at one point and came to us and let us know he loved us and he wanted to save us and get us out of that darkness and open our spiritual eyes. Verses 2 through 4 says, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. We can see a little preview of that through the coronavirus epidemic, because we haven't been able to get together in church, and it's been a hard time for us. We know that worse times are coming. And especially when we're not here and we won't be able to preach the gospel anymore. It'll be up to these younger people and the ones that will be saved after we're gone. But you know, the disciples asked Jesus who had sinned. Well, it wasn't anybody's fault, according to Jesus, that this man was born blind. But it was for the glory of God, that he might show his great works, that he might be able to heal the blind. And they had never heard of a man that was healed who had been blind from birth. But Jesus healed him. And then we think of the spiritual darkness in this world today. This man was not only blind physically, but he was blind spiritually. He did not know how to be saved. He didn't even know who could save him. He had never heard the story. That's why we're sent out, to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love, to that his light shine. And as we sang the song, Let the Lord Lights Be Burning. Thank you for that song. You know, God coordinates the services. He puts everything together. And we need to let our light shine. As it says, some poor, fainting, struggling seaman, you may rescue, you may save. There are people out there that are struggling. And we have the answer. But we have to let our light shine as Jesus did. Why are the lost so blind? Look in 1 John 2, 9 through 11. I want to go through some verses real fast. 1 John 2, 9 through 11. If you'll follow me in your Bibles, we'll see some reasons why the lost are so blinded. Hatred blinds the eyes of the lost. Verse 9 says, "And he saith, he is the light. And he that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion for stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother," or anybody, not just your carnal brother or your brother in Christ, I believe this means your neighbor or anybody, "is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." Not only does hatred blind the lost people's eyes, but also unbelief. In 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 4. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." And then in Ephesians 4, 17 through 18. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. Says that, "This I say therefore," Ephesians 4, 17, "and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Last night, Brother Joe talked about there has to be a willing heart. But ones that have never heard the gospel don't know what to give their will to. They must hear. And then last of all, in Romans 1, 18 through 21. Romans 1, 18 through 21, we find that they're not only blinded in their eyes and in their minds, but also in their hearts. Romans 1, 18. "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made," the things that God made that are good, "even his eternal power and Godhead," even that there's a Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, "so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." By their vain imaginations, you know, their imaginations lead them to make their own gods. So they make images to take the place of God, or they buy them like we do here in the United States and have them to use for our comfort and our convenience, but they can become idols. And even our children, our grandchildren, could be an idol because we love them just so much that in Chile they say they adore their children, and that means worship. But we only need to worship God. Now, what does God use to enlighten the lost? He uses his creation, like we just read in Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 and 20. Go with me to Psalms 19. And I know you remember these verses. But it's good to remind ourselves of why the lost don't have any excuse. No one can say, well, God never gave them a chance. They didn't hear the gospel. But if they will respond to the light that God gave them, He will give them more light. That's what the Bible teaches. In Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. That's why they have light, because of God's creation, also because of their conscience. Go with me now to John 8, 8 and 9. Do you remember the story about the woman that was caught in the act of adultery? And you know what Jesus told her, to go and sin no more. But before that, what about the men that accused her in verse 9, John 8, 9? And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the least, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. He left her. They left her, and they didn't accuse her anymore. Matthew 4, 16 and 17. Their conscience convicts them of their sins. Unless they've served their conscience, to where it doesn't affect them anymore. Matthew 4, 16 and 17. Christ Himself also enlightens people. Matthew 4, 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And that's when Jesus went out preaching to the people. And Luke 1, 78 and 79. You know, when Zacharias was blind, well, deaf and dumb, and he, when he was able to speak, he praised God for his son John the Baptist, but he also talked about Jesus in the last part of that discourse. In Luke 1, 78 and 79, he talking about Jesus, he said, through the tender mercy of God, whereby the day spring, that's Jesus, from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our way, our feet, into the way of peace. And God provided for him. In John 1, 3 through 9, to finish up, Jesus is called the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John 1, 3 says, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, John the Baptist. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, But he was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man. No one has excuse. The heathen won't be able to say, well, I didn't know, because they've got the creation that shows them the goodness of God and the wrath of God. They've got their conscience to show them right from wrong, good from bad. If they won't respond to those two things, then Jesus is not going to show himself to them, sad to say. But it's our responsibility to not only to tell them about Jesus, but show him. So when he healed this blind man in John chapter 9, that man still didn't know him. And this is the conclusion to my message. That man still didn't know who he was. He talked about him being a good man in verse 17, but he didn't know him as the God-man. He talks about him being a great prophet in verse 35, but he didn't know him as the God prophet. But when Jesus heard that he had been thrown out of the synagogue and this blind man took up for Jesus and said, I don't know who he is, but I know one thing. I was blind and now I see. And once we've seen, it's our responsibility to take the gospel to those who haven't. And Jesus showed up in verse, if you want to look at it in John chapter 9 and verse 35, this is the good part. Jesus heard that they had cast him out of the synagogue, and when he had found him, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He said unto him, Dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? He still didn't know him, and he had been healed by him. A lot of people get healed. A lot of people get prosperous. A lot of people get to be famous, but they don't know Jesus. And they might even say, Well, God has blessed me. Praise God, he has really blessed me. But it's all about them. Once it's about Jesus, there's a difference. Once they're saved, they'll do what this man did. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. That's the difference. They will worship God when they know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And God bless you. And may we let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works as they saw Jesus and glorify our Father in heaven. And we can work while it's still day before the night cometh when no man can work. God bless us.